We have all been experiencing the craziest situations over the past 2 years. Recently, actually just this morning, I was listening to a podcast where Adam Grant was talking about the word languishing being really the identifier of what all of us are feeling right now. It's this feeling of longing for connection, longing for normalcy, longing for purpose, and just kind of feeling not exactly burnt out because we still have energy, but not as much as we used to, and not exactly depressed because we still have hope, even if it's not as much as we hope to, but this feeling of languishing. I loved it. It resonated so much with me. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with David Matthews. David Matthews is one of my friends, but he also is an expert in grief. That's a heavy word, but we have all been experiencing grief to some extent over the past several years. And on top of just having grief from maybe actually losing a loved one, there's grief of a loss of dreams, expectations, a sense of normalcy, the way that life used to be. My mom still to this day, when things happen, she'll say things will never go back to normal. And that can be a hard thing to hear and wrap our minds around. Let's unpack that together in this episode with David Matthews.
There's a process to falling in love, and it starts with attraction. Join Kimberly Beam Holmes and her special guests as they discuss how to become the most attracted you can be, physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, or as we refer to it, working on your pies. We'll teach you how to have better relationships and become more attractive to others, and maybe more importantly, to yourself. It starts with attraction, and it starts now.
So the topic for today is about grieving the past 2 years with the changes that we've had in society and what we can do to heal. And I am here with my friend and colleague, David Matthews. David, thank you for joining me on the podcast. I love having you on.
Thank you, Kimberly. I love being on. It's fun. It's fun.
It is fun, even when we talk about heavy topics, which last time we talked about signs of midlife crisis. So for those of you listening, and I just said that and you said, ooh, I want to know that, then go back. We'll also link it in the show notes. You can listen to that episode I did with David. He was one of my first, I mean, that episode was like in the first 10 or 15 of my podcast.
Really? So, wow.
And we're rounding 100 almost.
Ooh.
So, but today we're talking about grieving and not just in the sense of grieving, you know, people that maybe we have lost or different things. But I love the way that David talks about grief, and he has a ministry and organization called Spark of Life where they deal with loss of all kinds, and they don't necessarily differentiate between the kinds of loss that people experience, because loss of a job, loss of a dream are difficult, as well as, of course, as loss of a loved one, loss of a child, loss of a spouse, or even loss of a marriage. And so they do some great work over there. They do a lot of great work over there. And we'll tell you more about that at the end of the podcast. But so, David, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what has been the impact that you have seen and that you have read up on society with what we've gone through over the past 2 years.
Wow. We could talk a long time about that, couldn't we? The pandemic has just shattered us in so many different ways. And it's such a great introduction about grief. So many different kinds of losses. Obviously, the pandemic, you know, I lost a dear friend, two good friends to COVID. One was 61, one of my top, you know, I hate ranking friends, three or four in the world. The guy I could tell everything to, you know, he got sick, he went to the hospital, he had a heart attack and died of COVID. So I think all of us have those stories, right? We have the stories. Some of you have stories of spouses, of children, of parents, of siblings, best friends who have died unexpectedly from this. And even if it's expected, like an aged parent in a nursing home, well, their loved ones couldn't even go see them, right, for a long time. And that happened to my good friend Lyle. His wife died and he couldn't see her. She was in a nursing home. And I ministered to him, I sat with him for hours over a period of months, seeing all the devastation that COVID caused in different ways other than death. Of course, death is obvious, and many of you are hurting because of that. But oh my goodness, the relationships that it's caused problems with. As you do research, the like I have in my notes, Kimberly, four areas where the pandemic has hurt us. Okay. It's work, play, relationships, and then spiritual. And mm-hmm. in work, we know that it's changed the dynamic of marriage helper, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to go down to the office and do the podcast with you or do filming with you, video with you. And I got to interact with all the goofy people at Marriage Helper that are wonderfully goofy, right? They're just wonderful.
Wonderfully goofballs, yes.
Yeah, goofballs. Such a great spirit there. And I miss that. I miss being with Mark. I miss being with Johnny. I used to see those guys during in-person workshops. I miss seeing you. You used to go to the workshops and you would wave to everybody, right? When we're doing it. And we're still doing it in person. But it's just really so many areas of grief that sometimes we don't label grief. So for example, the workshop and all these, you know, the Gallup poll came out recently, said 45% of full-time U.S. employees are working from home all or part of the time, 45%. Mm-hmm. And back in 2020, it was up to 83%, but now 2021, these are the most recent stats that I could find. Two-thirds of white-collar workers, 67%, are working from home either exclusively or at least part of the time working from home. I know our daughter is one of those. She's staying home. Yeah. She used to be on the road. She used to be interacting with people face-to-face. 41% are exclusively working from home. And a lot of the experts say that's never going to change.
Yeah.
That's just not going to change. So there's a difference in that. And it's interesting that 30% of people surveyed by Gallup said that they will seek another job if their company makes them go into work. 30% said that they would not do that. 50% said they would take a pay cut if their employers said, you've got to start coming to the office every day. They would be willing to take a pay cut. So that sounds good news. I mean, good news is staying home, cutting down on commute and all the expenses that has and the hassle. Okay, I can stay home. Therefore, relationships with my spouse can be better and my kids. But listen to this. During the pandemic, with couples stuck in the house, homeschooling children and facing financial and health concerns, interest in divorce has skyrocketed 34%.
Interest in divorce. Yeah. I believe it.
Yes. And in the U.S., newly married couples were the most likely to divorce because they had little kids or newly married. Now, think about this. New study reveals 21% increase in couples initiating divorce in 2021 than 2020. Well, that makes sense because 2020, the pandemic kind of started in March.
Right.
Okay. So it took a while for us to get on each other's nerves. It took a while for us to adjust to mom being home, dad being home, kids being home, everybody working from their workspace. One of our grandchildren or two of them had to go into a closet. Now, it was a big closet. They had no other place to put them for the school because they had to have quiet. They didn't have a place for that. Now, how did that affect the kids, right? How did that affect the parents? By June of 2020, just 3 months in, there had been a 34% increase in couples contemplating divorce. And then additional data show that the large number of those strained relationships were couples with young children. Mm-hmm. Now, you have two young children. Have they changed you and Rob's dynamic? Has it caused more stress?
110%.
110%.
Yes.
and that's being probably nice and kind, right?
Right. But it was made worse in 2020 because also part of it was, you know, for the first several months, there was this mindset of, this is only going to be a couple of months.
Yeah.
Like we're just going to get through it, flatten the curve. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And I think towards that summer fall of 2020, when people realized this is not going to be like, this is going to be another year or so. Yeah. I think that's when people's hope deflated.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And that's probably why the stats went up.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time I was talking to a mutual friend of ours about this, who had done some research. And back in 2020, he told me that actually divorce rates decreased for a while. Mm. Okay. But 2021 came along, and I think the longevity of it, people got frustrated. And it's real interesting. The experts I read on this, the people who've really studied this and researched it, and you can read almost anything online, right? We're saying that pre-existing conditions are exacerbated during stress. Well, okay, we all knew that. Mm-hmm. So if a couple has bad communication, if they use the four horses, as we like to say at Marriage Helper, if they have a communication pattern that's really not healthy, going to work actually can calm them down for a while, right? They get away from the conflict for a while, they come back. But we all know that's just tragedy waiting to happen, right? If you continue that pattern. So you put in the pandemic, and so the pandemic comes along and it exasperates it over time. At first, it might be really neat to stay home. And I've been home since 2013. I've been working. Mm-hmm. Debbie and I have both worked from home, but we don't have little kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to figure out everything about the kids. And then they go to school, they come home. Then the school shut down, they come home. And then you have the financial stress, and the financial mm-hmm. stress is real. And so you have, and according to Dave Ramsey, it's the number one problem, right, of married couples. And according to Dr. Joe Beam, it's not necessarily the financial, it's underlying
the number one problem.
Yeah, there's a core issue going on there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's usually disrespect in some form or fashion. So you put the pandemic into an already volatile situation, and I think the end result, if we're not careful and intentional, is going to be an increase of marital dissatisfaction, mm-hmm. Divorce, or at least thinking about divorce, and that can be good or bad. Right. Mm-hmm. Because maybe they would have that problem eventually anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess the question is, what do we do about it? You know, what can we do about it? And that's kind of why I'm on here for this podcast. And you know what I'm going to say. I think you know exactly what I'm going to say. Number one, we have to look at this as a grief situation. Mm-hmm. There's a woman, her name is Pauline Boss. She's what a great name, right? Pauline Boss.
I'd like the last name Boss.
Yeah, I think you would like it. I think Debbie would like it. That's my wife, by the way. She'd like to be called Boss, Mrs. Boss.
Any woman,
any man, but especially, well, I won't say especially women. She's a retired family therapist, and she is a social scientist at the University of Minnesota, or was. And she talks about the myth of closure, ambiguous loss in a time of pandemic and change. So she's talking about ambiguous loss. And what she calls ambiguous loss is that those losses that we don't really classify as loss. And I've given you this definition of loss before, or grief. Grief is the conflicting feelings caused by the change of or an end in a familiar pattern of behavior. Okay, just take that definition.
Mm-hmm. Repeat it one more time for people who didn't catch it.
Grief is conflicting feelings caused by the end of or a change in a familiar pattern of behavior. It comes from the Grief Recovery Institute handbook. I love that definition, and we can change it up, but basically it says when you have a pattern of behavior that's altered and changed, mm-hmm. even if you want the behavior, even if you want it, like retirement, or I got out of ministry, I changed a familiar pattern of 45 years of behavior. It was our choice to get out mm-hmm. And went into a different kind of ministry called Spark of Life. So it was our choice, but it was such a change in a familiar pattern of behavior. I went through grief, and Debbie went mm-hmm. through grief, even though it was our choice. So mm-hmm. people with handicapped children that die, they grieve, and people would say, well, you should be relieved. Well, they might be relieved that their kid is not, you know, we had dear friends we've had two friends, and they had a handicapped child that screamed 24/7 just about. Mm. I mean, just about 24/7 wow. screamed. So they had to put the child in a facility. Then they felt guilty. Then they had to bring the child home. Then it disrupted their whole family. And then when the child finally died, one died at the age of 30. Her name was Alex, and Alex died at the age of 30. I'll never forget Ron and Marlene feeling relieved that she had died, and then feeling guilty because they felt relieved, and then feeling sad, and then feeling guilty. So they had all these mixed emotions, even though they were happy she was released from this body. And yeah. their belief system is she is free from that, and she's yeah. happy. Mm-hmm. so deep, deep grief because guilt piled on. In the pandemic, we need to recognize what's happening as a grief situation so we can handle it in a healthy way, like grief, mm-hmm. and not like an ungrief. So we start thinking, what is wrong with me? I get to stay home. So I get to stay home, right? But what a change in a familiar pattern of behavior. And it does cause added stress. So there can be pluses and there can be minuses. And so this abstract or ambiguous loss that Dr. Boss describes is very real. We call it non-death losses. Mm-hmm. Now, with pandemic, we know there's death losses, and that's a real deal. And some of you are just reeling from that because of a loved one that has died during the pandemic. But for all the other elements, and including death loss, we got to frame it with loss and grief. So what's the fundamental of grief? The only cure to grief is to grieve. My words will not fix you if you're in grief right now. My words can help you. Maybe you deal with it in a more healthy way. That's kind of the purpose of today. So it's a mistake, for example, to tell somebody, look, it's just temporary. Okay, it's temporary, but I'm still reeling. I lost my job. We went to Pensacola last January, a year ago. By the way, it's 40 degrees and the wind was blowing 50 miles an hour. We're on the beach, and I think my toes froze in the ocean while I walked on the beach. Okay, do not go to Pensacola in the January.
No.
Now, if you're part of the Pensacola Chamber of Commerce, I'm sorry, but it was miserable. So we're on the beach thinking it's going to be warm. So we went out to eat. All the restaurants were closed except five, right? It's in the kind of the height of the pandemic. It was January. It was easing up a little bit, but accelerating a year ago. And then you had winter, and then you had the freezing rain. Yeah, so a lot of the restaurants were closed because of the pandemic. So we found this restaurant, it's a really nice restaurant, and this waiter comes up and he's just fabulous. He's just fabulous. We love this guy. And so, you know, I'm a high I on the DISC profile, so I'm talking to him. I find out about his children, his wife, all his marriage problems within 5 minutes, right? We're talking about marriage helper, talking about spark of life. And I said, so you sound like you're from the Northeast. He said, I am. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I lived in Manhattan. And I said, So why are you here? He said, well, I own my own restaurant, very successful in New York City, in Manhattan. He owned a restaurant. Can you just believe that, right? Just think about how much that cost.
Yeah, a ton of money.
He's waiting on tables in Pensacola, Florida, 40 degrees, freezing, and half the restaurant's empty. Mm. And I said, what happened? He said, the pandemic happened. I lost my restaurant, bankrupt. Mm. And he's waiting on tables. And I said, I'm so sorry for your loss. I really mean it. That's just not fair. Now, does this guy have a right to feel bad? Mm-hmm. Does he have a right to cry out?
Yeah.
Yes, he does, because he's in grief. And if you're in grief right now, it's okay to grieve. Mm-hmm. He has to admit his feelings in a safe place. Give voice to his pain, because his pain is real. It does no good to say, well, others lost a loved one to COVID. You haven't lost a loved one. Well, that is good news that he hadn't lost a loved one to COVID, a parent or a spouse. But he's still in grief. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to grieve even if somebody else has a worse loss. Mm. He needs to grieve. So it is a mistake to tell somebody other people have worse loss, so you don't have a right to grieve. So Debbie and I both have COVID. We're coming out of it in the last 2 weeks. We're doing fine. Others have loss, right? It's okay for me to feel bad and to grieve. And it's okay for parents to grieve when their kids can't go to school or things go wrong. But you've got to give yourself permission to grieve. The only cure to grieve is to grieve. And so our attitude toward our loss is everything. So we always teach permission to grieve, to shout out to your God, whoever that is. You have a right to feel bad, even if somebody else has a worse loss. Our last full retreat we had in person last September. We do 3.5-day retreats for grief. And the last one we had, and we're having another one coming up in March online and then May in person. But the last one we had last September, we had a woman who had lost 3 children, a 25-year-old, a 26-year-old, and a 6-year-old, all in within 5 years, different circumstances.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's there at the retreat. And then we had a friend of mine, Ted, who had lost a son to suicide. So he's saying, I shouldn't feel bad because I only lost 1 child of my 5. She lost 3 of her 4. Does he have a right to feel bad? Then we have another one whose husband treated her like crap for 25 years. I mean, like crap. And she held on, right, and did everything she could. Mm-hmm. And finally had enough courage to divorce him. He was abusive to her physically, emotionally. Mm-hmm. She had to get away from this guy. Mm-hmm. But she held on trying to save that marriage, which I admire greatly. But did she have a right to feel bad? Mm-hmm. Even though she had not lost 3 children or 1 child. Yes, she did. So in the pandemic, I have the right to say, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I don't like what's happening. I don't like the changes, right? I don't like it. But what else do I need to do? And the thing that I want to share with the listeners today is that I have a right to recover. I have the right to take hold of what's happening and say, and at Spark, we've kind of done 3 things. We've had 3 little expressions. We have to embrace grief, attack grief, and ignite a new relationship with grief. So we attack it. We embrace it. What does embrace mean? It means I hold on to it. Not forever. But I embrace it because grief, why do we grieve? We grieve because of love. The only thing that gets us out of grief is to grieve. And the thing that put us into grief, love, is the same thing that puts us, that gets us out of grief. It's called love, right? Yeah. So I embrace grief and say, you know what? Grief means I had some kind of love going on with something or someone. Usually it's people. In the pandemic, we had a love for what we do for a living, how we did it. I'm a big people person. Mm-hmm. Church is a big, huge deal for a lot of people that's listening to this, right? Mm-hmm. Has your church experience changed through COVID? And what the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. I bet, you know, in 104 weeks in the last 2 years, 20 and 21, I bet I've been to church 10 times. Mm-hmm. And usually that's me preaching at a grief workshop. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 20 times in 104 weeks. Watch church online. It's still good, but it's still not the same. So mm-hmm. I have a right not to like that. I want to be with people, right? And mm-hmm. so the spiritual aspect is so important too. But I have a right to feel bad, but I also have a right to get up and to claim a healthy recovery by deciding to find something out there that's good in it. And it's my attitude toward it, right? So what can I do? You know, and I've got, what can I do? I embrace grief and then I attack it. Grief ain't going to beat me. It's not going to destroy my family. It's not going to destroy my marriage. I can make a decision to find something good. So I want to go back to, you remember the waiter? I'll call mm-hmm. him, I'll call him George. I can't remember his name. Cool guy. George the waiter in Pensacola, freezing Pensacola changed this guy's life. Okay. You say, well, you say that all the time. I do, because he changed my life. I said, George, I'm so sorry about your loss of your restaurant. Your life's dream is shattered. He goes, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And, you know, I went through some bad times, but you know what? I got me a job. My mother moved to Pensacola years ago to get out of the cold. I said, that's ironic since it's like freezing today.
It's freezing rain right now.
Yeah. But he said, she came here like 20 years ago. She missed me. I'm the only son she has, the only child. I now live with my mom. Temporarily, till I get back on my feet. It's renewed my relationship with my mom. Mm. I have a job. I love people. I love food. So I said, well, you're the best waiter I ever had. And if you're lying to me now, good job, because I'm going to leave you a huge tip. And we did. We left him a huge tip. So Debbie said, you think he used us up? I said, no, I don't. I don't think he used us. Mm-hmm. I think he was genuine. And he taught me, I get to determine my attitude in any situation.
Yeah.
So the pandemic can just strip us of our dignity. It can hurt us. It can slam us to the canvas. You know, I'm cut and bleeding. I go to the corner. But the bell rings for the new round. I hate to use a boxing analogy because I think it's a barbaric sport. Okay. But I, you know, I followed boxing when I was a kid, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, you know, but the bell rings for the next round and you get up, cut and bleeding, and you go fight again. I love the spirit of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what George taught me, right? He taught me and Debbie, it's okay to grieve and it's not easy. But it's also okay to get up, wash your face, and enter the fray again and have an attitude that says, blankety blank, 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 grief is not going to defeat me.
Hmm.
I'm going to embrace it, but then I'm going to attack it. So how do you attack it? I think you attack it with intentionality. And we say at Spark of Life, recovery is a decision I make, not an emotion I feel.
Hmm.
And we teach this in Marriage Helper. If I wait for my emotion to feel, what might I do?
Yeah.
I might quit. Mm-hmm. I might just, we have one guy, his son took his life by suicide and he called us one day about a year ago and he found us on the internet. Now he's going to partner with us at Spark. He's already been a big help and we're starting a podcast in 2 weeks called New Morning. MOURNING. And he said he sucked his thumb for 1 year after Luke, his son, took his life by suicide. He sucked his thumb for a year. I love that metaphor. He sat in the corner, didn't work, sucked his thumb for a year. He could not function. That's just called deep, deep grief crap. That's what it's called. And then I said, so what happened? He said, I decided I can't live like this.
Hmm.
I've got to do something. I've got to get up and do something. And he started Googling. He found Spark of Life. He called. Debbie answered the phone. We've become fast friends. He's coming tomorrow or this afternoon. We're going to cut 8 hours of podcast tomorrow and Thursday on good. It's called New Morning, a new kind of morning. And the new kind of morning is I ain't going to let grief defeat me.
Hmm.
Now I have to have that attitude. So what can I do? I love this. William, I'm talking way too much. You can bleep this. But William Orme is a PhD, a Houston psychologist. He says the jury is out on which changes brought by the pandemic, positive or negative, will endure after the crisis passes. Well, I agree with him. It's either going to be one or the other. People are going to be negative or positive.
Hmm.
And if you're listening to this, you have the choice, right? You have the choice to be negative or positive, but don't short circuit the grief. Give yourself permission to grieve, but then give yourself permission to get up and say, this ain't going to defeat Dave Matthews. I'm going to, this isn't Pollyanna, and you don't know who Pollyanna is, do you, Kimberly? You never heard of Pollyanna.
I know the word. I didn't know it was a person, though. I just thought it was a word.
Disney had a movie back in the 50s, 60s called Pollyanna. She was an orphan, and her mean aunt, very rich, adopted her. And she changed the whole town with her positive outlook. You know, she got hurt really bad, but she hung in there. It's kind of a soapy, sugary movie, but it's so cool because she almost had her optimism shattered.
Hmm.
But then she had changed a whole city because of her outlook that I'm not going to let my parents dying in a car wreck keep me down forever. Now, she had to go back and deal with that, obviously. But, you know, Dr. Armory said, it's going to be interesting what happens. Well, I think both things will happen because we're human beings. Some will give up. Some might have lost the dearest on earth to them. And I'm certainly not chastising you for feeling like giving up. But I think one thing we've learned in Spark is feelings of helplessness and hopelessness does not mean you're helpless and hopeless. Mm. It's a temporary emotion.
Mm. That's good.
We all feel that. So he says, my hope is that people find a little more balance and fulfillment. Their increased well-being will have an overall beneficial impact on our communities. And I love what he says there. And the deal is, I do not believe the pandemic happened so that we would be more thankful. I think the pandemic happened because we live in a crappy world sometimes. In this world, you'll have trouble. Mm-hmm. We're human. We have disasters. We have death. We have diseases. We have stuff like this. We have evil people. Mm-hmm. But I have the right to say, okay, grief, I've sucked my thumb for a year or two, whatever it is with you. You don't want to stay there. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is other relationships that are important are hurt. And I don't want that to happen to me or to you or to anybody I love, right? So what we got to do is ignite a new relationship with grief. And how do we do that? And all the stuff I've read and all the stuff we've seen with thousands of grievers over the years is that I have the ability and the power to live forward with hope, with my pain, and become actually a stronger, better person through it. You know, C.S. Lewis said, God shouts or whispers in our pain or shouts in our pain, something like that. And I think that's very true. One thing that I wanted to say today was there's the article, I mean, the waiter George in Pensacola so exemplifies everything I'm talking about today. He had every reason to be bitter, but bitterness didn't serve him or anybody he loved, right? It didn't help. So what he did was he said, okay, I've got a job. I'm eating 3 squares a day. I'm with people. That's all I can do right now. And what I can do is enough. All I can do is enough. So he's doing that. Well, Sean Acor has written a book called The Happiness Advantage, and he talks about the power of gratitude, right? The power of being thankful, the power of looking outside me. We call it at Marriage Helper, you know, at the marriage workshops, aspiration is part of the love path. And what's so powerful about aspiration is if a couple, as they grow older, or even if they're not old right now, but we're all growing older, have an aspiration that's outside themselves. What it does is propel those two people together with a common goal outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, this emotional connection starts to grow in ways that we can't even believe when we experience it. Now, Debbie and I have experienced it through Spark and through Marriage Helper. That's our aspiration. We want to help couples in marriage problems, and we want to help those who are grieving, and the two are so interrelated, in order to not give up. So have an aspiration outside yourself that you can aspire to, and that is such a great recipe for grief recovery, because in grief, if you can, and I know I'm talking a lot, you can edit this, but we have this illustration we use with 4 circles. And when we experience grief, like the pandemic, I can still remember those bleak winter days in 2020. I can remember the summer when none of the stadiums were full, and I loved baseball and they were empty, right? It just didn't feel right. And then you have on top of that, the real issues of death and bad health and people having their families destroyed. And I can remember feeling so bleak. And so in loss, if you have this circle and loss is in the center of it, deep grief is when all 4 arrows are pointed in toward the loss. All I can think about is what I've lost. All I can think about is who I lost, what I've lost. I've lost my dreams. I've lost my marriage. I've lost my parent. I lost my child. Everything centered on that loss. That's natural and normal, but if I stay in that, if those arrows remain inward, I will be stuck the rest of my life. Hmm. And it will debilitate other important relationships in my life. A healthy recovery is acknowledge the four arrows in and normalize that. Don't beat yourself up for grieving deeply. You have every right to grieve. But then gradually, one of those arrows goes out and you help somebody else. So what happens? The debilitating effects of the grief will not take root as I start those arrows going out gradually. Now, all 4 arrows will never be all out. There's always be an arrow in of the loss because, you know, when we lost our grandson, nothing's going to bring Josiah back on this earth. Nothing. That arrow will remain in toward that circle. But the other three arrows are pointing out. Mm-hmm. That's healthy. If I ignore the arrow pointing in and deny my feelings, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
So Pollyanna, if she's not acknowledging that her parents died in that wreck, if she is so outward all the time, that can be very dangerous because she's not dealing with reality. Mm. And that's what happened in the movie. Mm. So three arrows out, one arrow in is where we're headed. Now, there's some days that all the arrows are in. Again, 10 years later. Mm-hmm. That's okay. So in the pandemic, some of you are going through right now, you've lost your business, you've lost maybe your mother, your father, your spouse, your child, your best friend on earth. Have those arrows go in. That's called grief. I'm so sorry for that. But I want you to know you don't have to stay there. Mm-hmm. You can't act like it never happened, but you can certainly be thankful gradually for what you do have. So the focus is not on what I've lost. The focus becomes on what I have today. Right? Mm-hmm. So I can sit, and our son-in-law preached at Seacoast Church this weekend. Seacoast is a mega church on the Charleston, South Carolina.
He preached.
He's one of the pastors there. And we stayed home. We watched our son-in-law, and he used our daughter as an example. It was so funny and so good and made us proud of both of them, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we were going to church every week like we used to, I might have missed that, you know? So we got to see that, you know, such an incredible feeling, seeing the good that they're doing. That was a blessing for us, right? So it's not what I had hoped, you know, that we'd be in church every Sunday and work, you know, and I think that's coming back, and I hope it comes back. Mm-hmm. But you get the point, right? You get mm-hmm. the point. So I've talked way too long here. Mm-hmm. So,
but it's all so good, David. I mean, every part, I'm just listening, learning, so much wisdom in all of it. The really only follow-up question I have is, what would you say about grief of kind of in a way, the way things used to be, but also in the past 2 years, just in the country or across countries, there's been just a lot of division, lost friendships, lost trust in others or the way they treated you, right? Like over these things, just a lot. There's been a lot. So how would that part of it apply into this mourning grief process?
Interesting you asked that, because that's in my notes and I left it out. So thank you for that, because that's one of the huge things I wanted to say today to address mm-hmm. that. So thank you. It's a real deal. I don't know many families who are not divided politically mm-hmm. over the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it does go along political lines mm-hmm. A lot, not exclusively. There are people on both sides of the political aisle that are on both sides of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I know them. I don't know many families who don't have some kind of division along the line of, I think that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's happened in my family. You remember what Gottman says about why most couples divorce? They mm-hmm. feel unliked, unloved, or disrespected.
Yep.
Two D people who are commanders can have a good marriage, and commanders are like Donald Trump married to Hillary Clinton. Okay, so if Donald Trump's married to Hillary Clinton, and I'm not saying they've got a thing going, don't misquote me here, but I'm saying those are two of the extreme commanders you know, in the public eye. Okay,
yeah,
could they make it in marriage? Of course, no jokes here. Okay. Two extreme commanders can make it if they respect one another.
Yeah. And if they're aligned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they can have different views, and they can have two politically opposing views and make it and love and respect each other if they respect each other.
Yeah.
I think what we've lost in our country is respect for a differing view. Mm-hmm. So I've got somebody in my family that we disagree about everything. Mm-hmm. So what we've decided to do is not talk about it. I think the other person wants to talk about it more than I want to talk about it. Sometimes we decide, I'm going to give you your view. I want to respect you. And I know you have good points, right? Mm-hmm. I think we've got to get there in our relationships with our family. Either agree not to talk, it's just too volatile. Or if we do, we cannot yell, scream, throw things, walk away from the table. Mm-hmm. We got to put into practice what we teach couples at Marriage Helper. Mm-hmm. Respect one another, listen to each other, stop trying to control each other, stop trying to fix each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get somebody who's opposing my views of what's going on. I'm not going to change them by Facebook post, and if you want to post, go ahead. That's your right to post. I have chosen not to do that, not because I don't have my convictions, but because I have to weigh whether it does harm or good.
Yes.
And everybody has to make that choice. But in our families, it's a huge deal. Almost mm-hmm. everybody I know, it's not just on the pandemic. It's on morals and what's right, what I believe to be right, wrong, what others believe. And there's such a divide in our country. It's not all on political lines, but a lot of times it is. But it's not all on that. So my advice is to respect people's differing opinions. And back to the arrogance thing, I think off the air, I said, I think arrogance is one of the biggest sins, if you want to rank sins, because arrogance says, I can do it. I don't need anything other than me. Mm-hmm. And in my view of God, he only wants us to say, I need you, God. You know, I don't have all the answers. But I think some humility saying, I do not have all the answers to the pandemic. I don't have all the answers to the mask. I don't have all the answers to the vaccines. I do not know. For me to impose my beliefs on others, I think is a very disrespectful thing to do. I can have my convictions without giving those up, without imposing on others. Mm-hmm. Now, some might think that's being weak. Okay. And they just have to, you know, it's okay, because I would disagree with you if somebody mm-hmm. says, oh, well, you're weak, you need to shout and from the rooftop. I get why somebody believes that. So I don't want to do to you what I'm saying we shouldn't do to each other. I want you to have that right, too, to shout from the rooftops if you so choose that. I just think respect has got to be there in relationships. Mm-hmm. My family members, and it's more than one, I'm talking about my extended family, those that have opposing views than maybe Debbie and I do, maybe they can teach me something, mm-hmm. right? And hopefully I can teach them something if they're willing to listen, if we can do it in a way that respects each other. I think it's back to respect. And the deeper problem to me is in our families, like our marriages, are we going to respect each other when we disagree? And if we can and work together as a team, I think that's when great things can happen in marriages. That's being emotionally attractive. That's being working on my pies. That's saying, you know, Debbie, sometimes I disagree, but what you just said makes, you know, I'm going to think about that. And I so appreciate you sharing that with me. Man, mm-hmm. we get to that point. So what difference does it make in one sense? In one sense, you know, mm-hmm. my beliefs make a big difference, but we're going to disagree. And mm-hmm. it's more than just the pandemic. It's a philosophy, and we just got to learn to respect one another. It's hard to do if somebody doesn't respect you. I get it. It's hard to do if I'm attacked, my character is attacked.
Yeah.
But I think going on social media fast is really important. I think it's really important not to dwell on the negative and to develop a sense of gratitude. You know, gratitude has been shown to actually help us physically, mentally, emotionally. Sean Acor says, many psychologists say this, being intentionally thankful and writing those down on a daily basis changes perspective. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for family members who think different than Dave Matthews, because that way it's easy to love those who agree with me.
Yeah.
I think we're called to love even those who are different than me, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, that might sound Pollyannish, but it's still, hey, man, all I know is I'm screwed up. I need help. I don't have all the answers. And if we love each other and encourage one another and build each other up, that's what we need to do.
Absolutely.
And we can still have our convictions. I don't have to give that up.
Right.
If I can say one more thing, the disciples and Jesus are going through Samaria, and the disciples go out to try to get a motel room, and Holiday Inn tells them no room at the inn. And they say, you got 38,000 rooms available. You're shutting down the inn to us because we're Jews and you Samaritans hate us. So Peter and John, James and John come back to Jesus and say, they don't want us in their city. And they say, why don't we bring down fire from heaven? Why don't you just send down lightning strikes and wipe them out? And in one text, Jesus picks up his things and he goes to another village. He doesn't say a word. He just goes. He just starts walking to another village. He's not going to confront the bigotry in the Samaritan town. And the text says that the disciples just followed him. I think that's a great example. He came to love people, to build them up in spite of their ridiculousness at times. And I'm as ridiculous at other people as other people. I'm just as screwed up as anybody, period. So I don't know if that helps.
I love it.
We got to respect people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. David, as always, a complete joy. I always love talking with you, and it makes me think you and I should do more shows together.
I want you to come on our new morning podcast.
I'd love to.
Okay. I'll ask you the questions, and then I can let you talk for 45 minutes without me saying another word. That'd be great.
Except maybe I'll just play devil's advocate and ask you really hard questions back.
Ask me hard questions about God. That'd be great.
That's what I want us to do. We should have a show about that.
We will.
But before we end, and then we can disagree what we disagreed about a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I called you a heretic.
Yeah, that's all right. I loved you anyway.
Out of love.
And I still don't know the answer to that question.
You know what? I don't either. But here's the thing. We listened to each other. It sparked me to look into why I believe what I believe about that topic.
Yeah.
So in the end, I am grateful for our disagreement.
Yeah.
But tell our listeners before we end where they can find you. They can find more about Spark of Life and the new podcast you're launching.
Yeah. Podcast, sparkoflife.org is our website. And we offer retreats in person for grief, any kind of loss. And then we offer grief coaching. We offer grief courses. We have, YouTube videos and our podcast called New Morning, MOURNING, Living Forward Through Grief is going to debut February 16th. And sparkoflife.org. We've got a great co-host who lost a son to suicide. He is funny. He is living forward with joy. He's the one that sucked his thumb for a year after Luke took his life, his son. He has deep grief, but he's living forward with purpose and meaning. It's a new kind of mourning. It's not going to be a sad podcast. We're going to have fun on the podcast. It's going to be edgy, not profane or profound. No, profound, not profane. And our goal is to help people decide to grab hold of life again.
Yeah.
Don't give up on life. So for people in marriage problems, it's so applicable. For people who are struggling, their spouse has left them, it's not coming back, or whatever the loss is. And I think the podcast is going to be really cool because Ted, I call him Teddy Ballgame after Ted Williams, but nobody knows that either except baseball fans. But Ted is a hilarious person. And the reason I love him is because he's been through hell on this earth. And he refuses to quit, even though he wanted to quit. Feelings of helplessness does not mean you're helpless, and feelings of hopelessness does not mean you're hopeless. A new kind of mourning.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I'll link to that in the show notes as well, so that everyone can go subscribe, listen to your shows, and we'll link to Spark of Life.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you, David.
We love you, and we love Marriage Helper, and the workshops are... they're incredible. They're incredible. We're honored to be able to do our part in that, because we see such great results.
Friends, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Remember to follow It Starts With Attraction anywhere you listen to podcasts and leave us a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more positive change we can make for relationships and for individuals around the world. For show notes, updates, and the opportunity to join our email list for encouraging weekly strategies for you to become the best that you can be in all areas of your pies, go to piesuniversity.com. Again, that is piesuniversity.com. Keep working on your pies, and always remember, it starts with attraction. Mm-hmm.